Tonight, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This is a passage that I was thinking about actually and reading over while I was on my trip in Peru. It was a good time. I actually had a few minutes here and there to pause and relax a little bit, and it was good. But Ephesians chapter 4, we want to talk about some things here. I got talking to one of the young men there on the team who did some preaching there as well. He's in the undergrad school working on the pastoral ministries, and we got to talking about some verses and some different concepts. And the next thing I know, I had a sermon ready in my brain and was ready to go, so I jotted some things down, and I thought I'd share it with you tonight. But I'm going to read a verse that's very familiar before we go to Ephesians chapter 4. So while you're turning there, we all know what Psalm 133 says. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity. And it goes on, it's the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, Aaron's beard, and so forth, the dew of Hermon. It's a good and pleasant thing to dwell together in unity. And we were sitting around the table and talking about that a little bit. And I told him, the young man, I said, you know, it's interesting that we tend to have a very, if you would, emotional definition of what we believe unity is. We relate it to things where somebody say, I want you to speak on, we're having a lot of problems and people are arguing and fighting, and we need to have some messages on unity, or some talking about what unity is and how we can get along with each other. And we tend to focus with unity on my horizontal relationships with people. How to be unified to people, and, you know, get these self-help books and help books and, you know, 10 steps to do this and 15 steps to do this and how to get people to like you and all this stuff. And we focus on our horizontal relationships and how to be unified there. It's more of, to me, if you would, a worldly definition of unity. You know, get along and don't say any mean words to anybody. And I know, especially in the school, it becomes, I've told Miss Pepper this and I've said it before. I said, I miss the old days when a bully would beat you up and take your lunch money, and then you could try to fight back and be done with it. But now, if you say anything mean, you're automatically a bully. And people have new definitions of bullying, and everybody's not getting along. And he said something mean to me. He's bullying me. Well, I just grow some thick skin and move on with life. But we live in a sensitive culture today, sensitive parenting as well, it seems. But, you know, let's all get along and let's be unified and be kind and loving to each other. What's the problem with that? We put so much emphasis on these outer horizontal relationships, meanwhile, putting the front on that we're unified, but meanwhile in our heart, we can't stand the person. We really don't like them. We don't want to get along with them, and so we put on this fake unity, and meanwhile, we have all these problems inwardly with them. Well, what we're going to see here tonight in Ephesians chapter 4 is a biblical view of unity. And I'll say, if you remember one thing from this message, it's this, that true unity is based in Christ. And we'll repeat this several times tonight. But when my vertical relationship with Christ is unified, all the other things take care of themselves. And that's where true unity is found. It's not being unified to be nice to each other, or being unified not to be mean and say mean things and you know, just put on this outward front of being unified. But it's when my heart is right with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm growing in the things of grace and walking with the Lord, that's where unity starts. And it's unity with Christ. And if everyone is unified together as believers in Christ, then those little horizontal problems take care of themselves. Let's begin in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to kind of pick up right in the middle of the context. Don't like doing that, but Paul is talking about Christ, you know, ascending up on high and giving gifts to men. For example, verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What for? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, how long are we going to do this ministry, this perfecting, this work, this edifying? Verse 13, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I just want to look at just three quick points from these verses tonight. And I know there's a lot of sermons inside those few verses. They're just a beautiful passage of Scripture. But we'll just draw out three points tonight that hopefully will be a blessing to you. First of all, in verse number 3, let's look at the definition of unity. How is unity defined? Again, as I said earlier, we have this worldly definition of unity many times that focuses on my horizontal relationships with people. That I've got to work to be unified with people, and I've got to, even if I have to fake it, we're going to have unity, and I'll just hate the person inside. Well, that's not really true unity. What's the biblical definition of unity? Well, here in verse 13, that word in the Greek just simply has the idea of agreement, basically, that I'm agreeing with something. Well, in verse 13, what are we agreeing on? It's the agreement, the unity of the faith and knowledge of who? The Son of God. That my agreement better line up with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's unity according to the Scripture. It implies several things, really. It implies even a separation. You know, if I'm unified with Christ, if I am agreeing in the things of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and I'm in agreement with that, there's automatically going to be a disagreement with other things. It seems that if you know, people have these different mindsets and they follow different things in the culture, and they like to do this and not be separated from sin and not go after the holiness that God desires in our lives, there's going to be disunity if we don't agree on faith and knowledge of Christ. Here in this passage, even, we won't read these verses, but in this chapter, verses 17 through 32, kind of in this context of unity, he talks about how the Gentiles walk. Their understanding is darkened, verse 18. They're blind in verse 18. And he goes into how they have a former conversation and the old thing of the lust and the old man, which is in complete contrast to what the Christian should have. Why is there a lack of unity many times between people that are believers and the people that are not believers? It's because we do not agree on the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that always amazes me when I travel, and I do enjoy traveling. I know some of you probably know that, but I enjoy traveling. I enjoy flying and going to see different parts of the world. And just this recent trip going to Chile and Peru and a completely foreign countries that I've never been in before, with, you know, a lot of crazy things happening. There's problems down there just like everywhere else. When I was in Chile, they took us to a park where you can go up into this old fort and you can look over the entire city with the snow-capped Andes Mountains in the background. Just an absolutely gorgeous view. But right below us in the street there, the main thoroughfare of the city, of the capital, there were thousands of people marching and protesting and waving these flags about marijuana. They wanted to legalize and support marijuana there, and everybody was just laying around smoking marijuana, and it was pretty rancid smelling. But it was just open, and, you know, there's sin everywhere. And you think, boy, that's just terrible to be around. But at the same time, in this foreign country, there's believers there. And you can be unified with a believer instantly anywhere in the world. And why is that? Because we both want, verse 13, the agreement, the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. We can go to different conferences and, you know, for example, we go to the AACS meetings and we see Ed Earwood there and all the other men and women that are associated with Christian education. And it's a good time of fellowship. Why? Because we all want the same thing. We want the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We're unified around the person of Christ. And that is where true unity comes from. It implies a separation from things that do not agree with Christ and a clinging to the things that Christ has. And truly, sin is something that can hinder unity in our hearts. Why do I have problems sometimes with other people? Because maybe there's a problem with my relationship with Christ. Maybe there's a sin issue that's there that is hindering unity. But when my life with Christ is correct, when I'm unified with Christ, then those horizontal relationships will be unified as well. The key to unity is, again, it's not to master relationships on earth and getting, you know, all these advice and go to some seminars about relationships. That seems to be a big topic in our world, having good relationships and all those things. And I'm not at all demeaning having proper relationships with people. But what is, it's beyond mastering relationships. It is to be in Christ. It is to be walking with Him. You know, all other relationships will be in disrepair if Christ is not central. If Christ is central and Christ is the key, all my relationships on earth will improve. I remember you know, when I was a teenager, everybody probably went through this, but having times where I didn't understand what my parents were doing, and I'd get upset at my parents, and, you know, why did they make me do that? And then, you know, I remember getting older in high school and getting things right with the Lord in some areas and wanting to submit to Christ and serve Him. And suddenly my parents were a lot better. You know, I remember one of my old preachers used to say that he didn't get saved until about 20 or 21. And he said, I couldn't believe it. When I got saved, my parents turned out to be better people. They changed instantly. Well, he was, you know, being a little sarcastic because it was he that had changed. And when our relationship with Christ is better, the other things improve. So unity is based on Christ. And notice again in verse 13, it is increased by faith and knowledge. We come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. As I grow in knowledge, as I learn more about Christ, what is the goal there? It is to, again, unify or agree with Christ. Do I find myself in agreement with this book? The Lord has given us His truth. We can read the Scriptures. We can study the Scriptures. We can gain the knowledge of Christ through this book. But am I putting up personal roadblocks or, well, I believe the Bible and all these things except for these, yes, that's too much to ask, Lord. The Lord wants us to come to agreement, more in faith, more in knowledge of the Son of God. Disunity comes when my personal beliefs, when my personal thoughts contradict Christ. Look in, just back in chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians. This is the love and the desire that Paul has for these Ephesian people. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, be filled with the fullness of God. Him, verse 20, very familiar verses, that is able to do exceedingly abundant what we can ask or think. That God wants us to know in those verses, knowledge of Christ that goes beyond our human knowledge, that goes beyond what we could ever, even verse 20, ask or think. That God wants us to bring or to come into a comprehension. And this is the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. So the true definition of unity is not, again, based on my relationships with people and being unified with people. Yes, that is part of what will come. But when I'm unified in Christ, when I have agreement between my heart and the things of God, there's unity. There's the foundation of it. But secondly, not just the definition of unity, but what about the purpose of unity? Why do we need to be in agreement in the faith and knowledge? Why should we be unified in the Son of God, verse 13, so that we can grow into the perfect man, a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? That word perfect, again, does not mean any type of sinless perfection or things like that, but it's talking about maturity. It's talking about growing to a completion, growing to be more and more mature. And as I am unified in Christ, what is one of the purposes there? It is to cause me to grow. As I agree with the things that God agrees with, and I disagree with the things that God disagrees with, then I grow as a believer. You think about times maybe in your life where God has convicted your heart about something. And maybe at first you didn't think it was that big of a deal and it was just part of your life, but the Lord convicts you and you continue to read His Word and you think, you know what, that's not the best thing I should do as a Christian. I'm going to ask the Lord to deliver me from that. Maybe it's a bad habit or something. And you get delivered from those things. And what are you doing? You're growing. You're being more conformed to Christ. Unity brings a maturity, that word perfect there. It brings a growth. My life deepens. I agree with Christ. You know, God works to cause us to put aside our disagreements with the Bible. Well, Lord, I don't know that I agree with what you're saying here. That's not unity. It's our opinions come underneath God's Word and continuing to grow and to know what God says. I was thinking about on our trip there that I took, the new Calvinist movement that's taking over pretty heavily down there, or people are trying to spread it down there, and the pastors were very confused about it and wanted some direction on it and things, so we tried as best as we could to go through a biblical perspective. And many times I told those men, I said, you don't have to look at the Bible and kind of put, here's Calvinism, let me set it on top of the Bible and just read through there. Or here's Arminianism, let me set it on the Bible. As if there, we don't have to be a Calvinist or an Arminian. We can be what the Bible says. And we get all caught up in these words and we get caught up in these systems. And so since I'm in this system, I can kind of twist the context or ignore the Greek here or kind of pull it out and make it what I want it to be because I'm so bent on it meaning this. That's not coming to agreement with Christ. That's coming to agreement with myself and making the Bible agree with me rather than me agreeing with the Bible. I talked to a young man that was there who said, yeah, he was, you know, he didn't believe in several things, and he's, you know, was trying to tell people it's okay to drink and things like that, and the Bible condones all those kind of things. You can live how you want, the whole new Calvinism, gospel in the air, and it doesn't matter how you live because Christ is sanctifying you, and he's just going to give you sanctification as a gift at the end, so you can do whatever you want, basically. And I told him, I said, well, he was a young man, probably 20 or 21, and I said, well, I just want to caution you that as a young man, you don't just repeat what everybody says. I said, if you come to those conclusions by spending hours and time in God's Word studying and working out your salvation with a prayerful heart with the attitude that I want to know what Christ knows. But we don't do that in our culture today. We just take whatever's said, run with it. This sounds good to me. So-and-so said it, so it's got to be true. Let's just go. And we've lost the Philippians chapter 2 of working out our salvation with fear and trembling. That I want to do it right. That I truly want to line up with the Lord's Word. That I don't want to go into my own opinions and things. So the purpose of being unified with Christ, being agreed with Christ in faith and knowledge, is that I can grow as a Christian. You know, sometimes growth hurts. You know, they talk about when your kids having growing pains or things. You know, some of us probably never grew. I don't know. Jared's waiting. I wish he'd have some growing pains. Maybe he'd get a little taller back there. I don't know. But Seth got tall this year a little bit. He's going to start catching up to me soon, and he's already in high school. I can't believe that. And I was a brave man and let him drive my beloved Ford Ranger yesterday and let him learn how to drive stick shift a little bit. So he's getting tall, and he's growing, and people talk about growing pains and those things. Well, as a Christian, sometimes there might be some growing pains because, you know, this Word of God is a sword. And sometimes it says the truth, and it cuts a little bit, and it hurts. And the Lord chastens, in Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord will chasten us. And we think, Lord, I don't really know if I'm ready to give that up. Well, the Lord wants you to give it up to conform you to Christ and to keep working on you and to mold you to be the faith and the knowledge, not of what I want, but of the Son of God. He wants to conform us to Christ. That's the purpose. Then, thirdly tonight, not just the definition and the purpose, but what about the result of unity? The result of unity. So the purpose, again, to be mature, to be full in Christ. You know, you even look in this context in chapter 4. Look down into chapter 5, verse 1. He says, be ye therefore, based on everything that was said, in chapter 4, therefore, since we want to be unified with Christ, since we want to be different and distinct with our new man at the end of the chapter, we should follow God as dear children. Be imitators of Christ. Walk in love as Christ did, as mentioned there by Paul. So this is done by following, imitating, finding agreement with Christ, that I'm willing to change my perspectives and the things that I want to do. And Mr. O'Pager was talking about it at lunch today. People always say, well, what's wrong with that? He said, well, what's right with that? You know, I appreciated that. It's a good perspective. People always like, I don't know why you Christians are so stuck up and stuffy over there. What's wrong with doing what I'm doing? Well, what's right with it? That's a good thing to say. Because we don't stop and think, is it right or wrong? We just say, I like it, so I'm going to do it. So there's nothing wrong with it. We need to stop and say, well, here's God's Word. Am I agreeing? Am I unified in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God? So the definition we saw, the purpose we saw, but then thirdly, the result of unity is in verse 14. When I agree with Christ, when I'm unified in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, notice what happens in verse 14. I am henceforth no more a child. I'm not tossed to and fro. I'm not carried about with every wind of doctrine. I'm not caught by the sleight of men, the craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive. When I'm unified in Christ and I'm in agreement with His Word, there's spiritual stability. That's the result of unity. I am a stable Christian. These words here, tossed to and fro, is the idea in the Greek of being irritated mentally, being irritated in the mind. There's a lot of things that people try to get you to question, and people have these battles in the mind, and they struggle with thoughts, and they struggle with what's right and wrong, and it becomes an irritation. The world loves to make you question what you believe, and to question God's Word, and to pull God's Word down in your mind. And it's a mental irritation. Also talks about not being carried away with every wind of doctrine. That means to be picked up and carried around in circles. Like circular reasoning is the idea there. That's the way our world is today. We argue about our theological world. We argue about these doctrines, and we just run around in circles, and this new fad comes up and everybody runs to it, and then that dies and we go to this new one. You know what doesn't rise and fall and is not a fad? It's this book. And we need to get in the Word and say, Lord, I'm going to be spiritually stable by agreeing with the Son of God. That I'm unified and I agree with Christ, and I'm not going to be tossed to and fro. I'm not going to be carried around by these doctrines and run from this one to that one to this one over here. Or the last part of the verse, lying in wait to deceive, has the idea of a careful and well-prepared plan. And that's what our adversary, the devil, does, doesn't he? He lays out a careful plan, very well prepared. He's got all the bases covered, and he's just waiting for you to fall into the trap. But if I'm unified in Christ, I will no more be caught in those traps. I will be a spiritually stable person. As James said, the double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. Well, what's the double mind? Well, I'm trying to agree with Christ, and I'm trying to agree with the world and myself. I have two minds. That's not unity with Christ. Our desire to agree with ourselves and with the world needs to die. And when we're unified in the things of God, in the knowledge of Christ, then I can be a spiritual, stable Christian. You know, it's firm in your faith. Do it through, our world today tries to manipulate. We try to find unity by manipulating people instead of going to the truth. And we'll conclude with this in verse 15. What's the whole point here? Instead of trying to be unified by manipulating people, you know, we're afraid to say something because, it might hurt my unity here on the horizontal level, the physical level. So I may just kind of manipulate the truth a little bit or not really say what I should say. What does Paul say here? Speak the truth in love. We often, again, seek unity through words of appeasement because we're worried about being unified here. And so we'll say whatever we have to say to appease people here. I don't want anybody mad at me, and I want to maintain unity here. And it's a great temptation for us. We're all guilty of it. None of us like people to be upset at us. Nobody likes having confrontations and things. But sometimes we've got to say the truth. Well, not sometimes. All the time we should say the truth, but we shouldn't fear and cower back and think, that person might get upset at me. And, well, they might. But it's better to be unified in Christ and speak the truth. You know, the appeasement doesn't work because it emphasizes horizontal unity over vertical unity. Truth retains the vertical unity. It's the prerequisite for the lateral unity. And true unity then is not attained by manipulating, by deceiving, by kind of not saying, let it kind of roll off. And it's tempting for us. It's hard. It's hard for us. We don't like confrontation. But the Lord wants us to grow in knowledge, grow in faith, to a perfect man, to the stature of the fullness of Christ, and to speak the truth not out of hate, not spitefully. Well, I don't want to show you what's what. You don't know. No. To speak it in love. To speak the truth in love so that we maintain that relationship of unity and agreement with Christ. You let the chips fall where they may on the horizontal relationships. But the truth doesn't fail. And when you side with truth, you're siding with the Lord. speaking the truth in love, grow up into Him in all things. In all things. Every aspect of our life. No individual compartments. Which is the head, even Christ. I hope that in our hearts, as God's people, as believers, that we understand what unity really is. It's not these physical relationships and getting along with everybody. Yes, that's wonderful and good. But sometimes we're tempted to do that at the expense of truth. So to agree and unify with Christ, and everything else will take care of itself. God help us in that regard.